I just want to pray for James just before he just shares with us something that the Lord put on his heart. And this morning really felt, you know, often we come together and especially on Sundays, we don't just as elders go, okay, this is your time to preach. This is your slot. This is, you know, we really go, Lord, what are you wanting to do? The Bible actually teaches and it says, unless God builds the house, unless the Lord leads and guides us as elders, as under shepherds under him, and go, this is what I want to do, because each and every one of you belongs to Jesus. You don't belong to us, you belong to him. And just the sense when we got together as elders this past week of something that James is carrying. And I got a sense just this morning, open again, I'm saying this, and maybe it's for you, open your heart wide, not to us, but to Jesus. And yes, to us as well, actually, as Paul writes. But open your heart wide this morning and let the Lord minister to your heart. Say, Lord, come do what you want to do. And let's hear what God wants to say through James. So let's pray for him. Lord, I want to thank you, God. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you for just for this morning, God, what you wanting to build within us, God. I pray that as James shares, that it will be your words, God, that it would be you speaking through him, and that your anointing will come and break yokes and just set people free, God, in everything that you've got for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. I'm so nervous this morning, but mostly because when I cry, then I can't talk. That's really bad. But you see, it's so bad. I don't know why I want to cry so bad. I think it's because I'm speaking about Jesus, and he's the one that changed my life. I'm sorry. It's ugly when I cry, so I just wanted to look away. Jen's a pretty crier. I'm sorry. I'm so aware that Jesus is here, and welcome, dear Galt. It's good to see you, my bro. I was just thinking about back when I was in the world. Sorry, my name is James, by the way, and I'm married to Jen. Many years ago, I didn't know Jesus, and I sit in church, and I just got so many flashbacks of how Jesus changed my life, and it's so ugly, I'm sorry. Just like, give me like a cheer or something. Yes. There you go. So I want to look at Jesus this morning. Here we go. And I want to look at the person that changed my life forever. And I want to look at a few things where people say stuff about Jesus. And I want to promise you, this is the absolute truth. It doesn't matter, no matter how you feel about it, this is the truth. Your feelings can't change the truth about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to start with myself. What do I say about Jesus? It's those words, he changed my life forever. And that is from the Bible of Jimbo. That's my Bible. And then I want to look at, what does Jesus say about Jesus? And in John 4, verse 16, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. Is that the one? I'm sorry. I do know it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that nobody comes to the Father except through me. And that is the absolute truth about Jesus, that he is the only way, he is the only life, and he is the only truth out there. I want to look at Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. This is what Paul says about Jesus. Did I give that one to you, Laurent? It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the truth about Jesus. You know, with this word that Nathan brought, there's this dispute of who Jesus is. Today we're looking at who he is and what he can do in our lives. What does Peter say about Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 16? Simon Peter answered Jesus, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the chosen one. Let's look at what John the Baptist says about Jesus. In John 1, verse 29. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the truth about our Savior, guys. This is, if you guys look around you right now, everyone look around you. No one looked around them. Look around you. Everyone here is looking for Jesus. You may not know it yet, but you're looking for the true one, Jesus Christ. And I went to church when I was a kid. I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know that I needed him that bad. And I didn't know he would change my life the way he did. And today, the title of my preach is called Moments with Jesus. And each and every one of us have moments with Jesus. And we all, most of us are South Africans here, and we all, basically our testimony start like this. I was raised in a Christian home. Who's heard that 1,000 times over? We've all had moments with Jesus, right? Since we were kids, right? And today, I really trust that we'll scratch everything we know and we'll just look at the truth about Jesus and that we're going to have a moment with the Lord today. It doesn't matter if you're an elder, it doesn't matter if you aren't leading the church or whoever you are in this church, regardless of your age and experience, you need to have a moment with the Lord today. Do we all agree on that? Awesome. I just want to reflect back to a moment I had with God when I was about 10 years old. If we can go back to the scripture with Paul in Philippians 2 verse 9. It says there, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. And when I was a child, I had a really cool bedroom, and the window was kind of in front of my bed, and the moonlight used to shine through. And the one night I woke up to this smell in my room, a smell that was like wretched, like a dead rat. And I woke up as if a dead rat was underneath my nose. You know that we almost can't even breathe. And I woke up, I was like, what is that? You know, and I sat up in my bed and I looked at my window, and there was a big dark shadow standing by my window. And I was a 10-year-old boy in my room. I was by myself in my room, it was dark. And I was so afraid. Fear filled my room, like fully. And I didn't know what to do. So 5 to 10 seconds of staring at this, what I know now was a demon in my room. And it felt like hours. And I stared at this thing, this moment, this face-off, a 10-year-old boy with a creature. And the next day I told my mom, and my mom has always been a strong believer. I think I'm saved because of her prayers, actually. And she grabbed me by the hand. And she said, come with me. And she took me into my bedroom and she said, you need to say the name of Jesus every time you enter your bedroom. And every time I entered my room from then on, I said the name of Jesus. And that whole day, I think I said Jesus a million times. Because like, if my mom says this is going to help me, I'm going to do what my mom says. You know, when you're a little boy, you love your mom and you listen to everything she says. Most of us. And in those moments, I guarantee you will. And I said the name of Jesus, and guess what? I never felt fear in my room. I never saw a demon in my room ever again. And that is, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That at the name of Jesus, this is who Jesus is. When you say his name, the darkness trembles. That when you say his name, people get saved. When you say his name, churches are built. That under the name of Jesus Christ, that this is all happening. So I feel like there's going to be many different moments we're going to have with Jesus today. Maybe you need to say Jesus in your life. And maybe there's going to be a moment where you need to come forward and you need to receive prayer and say the name of Jesus, because you need to be delivered of some darkness. Maybe you need financial help. Maybe you just need the touch of Jesus again. And I do believe today that everyone that's sitting here is going to have a moment with the Lord. Okay. So now, we looked at the truth of Jesus. Now, I just want to go through a few moments that that the disciples had with Jesus. And I always thought that Andrew and Peter, you know, the two disciples, two of the disciples of Jesus, I always thought their first time meeting Jesus was when Jesus was walking along the lake and called them to follow him. Has anybody else thought that? That's the first time they met Jesus or interacted with him. I might be the only one. But I read in John 1 verse 35 to 37, that it says, yeah, the next day John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. One of them was Andrew, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." This is the second time John says this in very close in scripture. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. How cool is that? As soon as they heard him say, "The Lamb of God," they followed Jesus. And I always thought that those two fishermen, Andrew and Simon, and then the other two, John and James, just like saw Jesus like, "Yo, it's a good idea, let's follow him," like whatever, a random event. But actually, Jesus or God had planned moments to prepare their hearts for the moment when they see Jesus, and then they were that somebody pointed the way to Jesus, that they followed him. And for all of us, I can guarantee you, everyone in this room, no one's exempt from this, that God has been preparing your heart throughout your life, whether you know Jesus or not, to prepare you for today, and that you're not here by accident. Exactly like Andrew and Simon at the lake, they weren't there by accident. Everything was planned by God. And so it's such a beautiful picture that John the Baptist really did prepare the way for Jesus. He didn't just prepare the way from preaching about the kingdom and stuff. He prepared hearts of people that would be huge in Jesus' ministry, like Andrew and Simon, John and James. Then I want to look at when they do follow Jesus in Mark 1, verse 16 to 20. It says, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother." One thing I forgot, when Andrew met Jesus for the first time and followed him, he immediately, after he followed him, he ran to go find his brother Simon and said, "I found the Messiah, come and meet him." And that's where Simon met Jesus for the first time. It's the first moment they had together. Now when Jesus, walking by Galilee, saw Simon and his brother Andrew, who's already met, casting a net into the lake, for they're a fisherman, he says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And so they followed him. And I think if I can encourage us with one thing from that scripture today, is that if we want to have a radical moment with Jesus, we've got to be willing to leave behind everything we know. And we've got to be willing to cut out everybody that we see in this room, and we need to focus on the Lord. And in that moment, they dropped their nets. They let everything go that they knew would give them finances or life or everything they've been trained to do. They dropped it and they followed him. Even James and John left their father in the boat. I wonder how that went. You know, like, imagine leaving him with all the stinky fish nets. Like, I'm going to go follow Jesus. But maybe the father knew that this is what they were called to do. So today, can I plead that we forget everything we know when Jesus is here? When the presence of God is here, we just forget everything we know and we just look at him. Everything you've been taught is irrelevant. When in the presence of God, he and your eyes are on him, everything else is irrelevant. And I think that's his heart for us today, guys. So I want to share a little bit of my story and why I was also crying so much. Because it was so amazing that God was showing me in worship. He was showing me all the times when he came into my life and he changed my life. And the first thing I want to mention is that Jesus possesses the words of truth and life. Now remember, we're not trying to dispute who Jesus is. I'm just speaking scripture. So we are looking at the true Jesus here. He possesses the words of truth and life. In John 6, verse 67 to 69, it says here, "You do not want to leave me to you." You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Where can we go? And I was just thinking in worship, like, Lord, I have nothing else to go to anymore. Because I've tasted and I've seen that you are real and that you are true. And I know that you have the words of life. I can't go anywhere to find life anymore. And in my life, I used to go to so many different things. So many different things. Remember in the beginning I said Jesus changed my life forever. How's this? I used to smoke about 20 to 25 joints a day. A day. A joint is a rolled up thing of marijuana and some cigarette in there as well. 20 to 25 a day. Every weekend, my friends and I used to get packets of powders and pills and all sorts and go and have the wildest time. And I used to sit in my home almost every time after those days, and I couldn't sleep because there were so many drugs in my system, wondering, what am I doing here? Every time I was in my own house, my parents upstairs, what am I doing here? Like, in the moment, it is the best feeling you can ask for. You take a little pill, it seems so innocent, and you're happy for 10 hours. I don't know if you guys have seen Johnny English, when he takes, he accidentally takes that green pill. Stuff's real, I promise you. You dance and your legs, you know. Anyways, in the real world, there are things that exist that can change your reality and make you feel amazing, but every time it ends with the lowest of lows. But because I've got nothing to go to afterwards, the next weekend I just go straight back to that thing again. And I can confess to you guys that I can really say to you guys that there's nothing better in this world than being in the presence of Jesus Christ. I have felt drugs do the most radical things to my body, and I have felt Jesus do radical things to my body. And it doesn't even compare. Because after Jesus is done with you, you just want more, and you are happy, you're full of joy, and it never, ever, ever goes away. And what's even better is you get to share it with family like this. And it's incredible. It doesn't go away. It's that water that you never thirst again after you experience Jesus. And I've had two very incredible encounters with Jesus. One was in a dream where I was dreaming. We were in Eerlands Bay, and I was having an afternoon nap. And I was in worship, and I was just on my knees in worship in this dream. Somebody said something in the dream. I can't remember. And then suddenly I just fell on my face. And it was as if it was real, but I felt the presence of God. And it's like my whole body was just full of this, like this, I don't know, this, I don't want to say energy or something, but I was just full of something. And I knew it was Jesus. I didn't want it to ever end. And then last year, we went to a youth leaders training time with the Mission 24 guys. Remember Jonathan Conrath? And you know the big guy, Kurt Thor? He's like a Viking Christian guy. He's so cool. And he's tall as well, so it's cool. And so I was at the back, sort of just watching the ministry happen, and I was actually praying in tongues, really just watching guys, watching our youth leaders, like just praying, Lord, come with power. Kurt came to me, he's like, I just need to pray for you quickly. So I was like, no, I'm not a youthie, like maybe go pray for them. And he's like, oh, quickly, and he started praying for me. I was at the front then, and then it's like this lightning bolt went through my back, and apparently I wasn't moving a lot, but it felt like I was moving a heck load. And I immediately started weeping because of the shock to my system, like the shock that I had. And I immediately knew the Holy Spirit was standing with me. And I just started weeping, and I don't know what I was saying yes to, but I was just saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And he started prophesying over me. And I can honestly say to you guys, I've tried some crazy stuff in the world, like really crazy stuff. That was so good. It was so good. It was better than any feeling I've ever felt. And the best part is I was standing next to the God that created me. And I was in that moment, I was doing what God always created me to do, and that's be in his presence. And to just cry with him and be happy with him and know this, that's where I'm meant to be. And my prayer, guys, I hope as I'm speaking about these experiences that maybe some first loves are sparked again in all of us. Some like times where you're like, oh, I remember when I experienced Jesus 10 years ago, but I haven't experienced him since. I want that again. And I really just pray that as I testify about who Jesus is, even in my life, and even as we read through scripture, that you're reminded, we're serving a God that's alive, and he's in this church, and he wants to build this church, and he wants each of us individually to be changed forever. He doesn't want you to come to a church for 20 years and warm a seat. He wants you to have radical moments in his presence, and he wants to bring you into so much more. And then the second thing is, he brings full freedom from this world. And I mentioned to you guys, I went from, I know, I was a full-on drug addict. Weed was my absolute God, actually. And I can stand here saying, if this room was full of weed and people smoking it, I would be perfectly free from it. I have stood with sinners, I've stood with my old friends while they're rolling joints and smoking stuff, and I've got no need for it anymore. I've been delivered from it. I'm fully free. It's not that I'm tempted or anything. I'm fully free from it, guys. I haven't watched pornography since 2020. I haven't touched a joint since 2018. I've been set free from sin and been set free from this world. And I can't even explain to you guys. You know, it's like I came from the depths of this dark world. And here I am married with a kid on the way in a family like this. Like, God has seriously changed my life, and it's blowing me away, just what he's doing. And I was reminded of this last Sunday. I think God started doing this in me again when I came back from Cape Verde, where Nate and I were, and that's like the best place to be. You've got good waves, warm water, it's clear water, there's people everywhere, good food. But coming back to just be with you guys and worship was the most beautiful thing ever. And I was just worshiping, and I'd look around and see you guys worshiping God, and I was just thinking, this is what we're here for, you know? This is what we're supposed to be doing. And I want to read through John 8, verse 36. It says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And this is what Scripture says. It doesn't mean anything else, that you will be set free if you have a moment with Jesus. And this morning, I believe people need to be set free of stuff. I believe that Jesus wants to come and have a moment with people that haven't had a moment with him in years. And that first love to be sparked again. I hope this is making sense. I can barely remember what I've been saying. So I actually decided to go digital this time. I didn't bring my papers to church. It's quite nice. So I think, can I just pray for a second? Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here, Lord. I thank you that you are here to lead us. You're here to guide us this morning. And Lord, I pray for your presence here this morning, God. And Lord, I even pray right now that you would come and bring clarity to those that are disputing of who Jesus is. Is he alive? Is he not alive? Is he real? Is he not real? And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come now and come and prepare hearts as you did in the disciples, as you did in our lives. I pray, Lord, come and prepare hearts. Come and show us where to go to experience you and have a moment with you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. So Friday night, we went to the youth gathering, and Charles from Durbanville preached an absolute awesome sermon. And one of the bombs that I took away from it was like a bomb drop. He said it. He said, you don't follow or become like Jesus by one radical moment. You become like Jesus after many and radical consistency. And we're not here just to have one moment with Jesus today. We are actually here to start a lifestyle of experiencing him. And many of us know we come to Christ because he loved us first. He gave his life on the cross. He died on the cross for us. And many of us have seen Jesus as Peter did. He's the Messiah. I need him in my life. He's the chosen one. And we need to make sure that we have building blocks in our life that we're consistently going to experience this living God, right? And that's why we obviously come to church. We go to home group. But I want to encourage us, guys, it doesn't end there. It's a lifestyle. Daily, we can meet with Jesus. And I've been enjoying reading his word and just even reading so slowly. I almost read like one verse a day, and it's like the Holy Spirit is showing me stuff about Jesus. And Jesus went so that the Holy Spirit can come and be with all of us. If Jesus stayed on earth, he would be one person, and he can't really be with everyone. So the Holy Spirit is here to consistently be with us and to give us moments with Jesus. And this morning, all he is doing to us is Josh and Malpos and visitors. He is just pointing us to Jesus right now. And last week, Steph preached about serving, the beautiful thing of serving and this love we have for one another, how it honors God. And I believe today, God just wants us to look at him. He wants us to focus on the vertical today. Last week, we focused on each other and we loved each other. And I believe in the week, we've been signing up to serve each other and love each other, and it's beautiful. And today, I just felt like God's like, let's just focus on him. Let's just love him, because that is going to help us serve each other, just as Steph was encouraging us to do. And so, can I ask the worship team to come forward? And can I ask that we stand as well? So, the one thing I know for sure that God wants to do in us this morning, guys, is if you want to have a touch from Jesus, if you want to have a moment with Jesus, he is available fully today. And he says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you acknowledge me in front of men, I will acknowledge you in front of others, in front of my Father on that day. And so we can close our eyes, and I just want to speak to those that have, they feel like they're in a dry time. They feel like you haven't experienced that first love. You haven't had that moment with Jesus in a long time. He has created you to be in his presence. He has created you from the beginning. Before you even in your mom's womb, he knew that you would be created for his presence. And this world has maybe clouded that, or the troubles of this world have clouded that. And you need to find yourself back in the presence of God, because that is where there's life. And he's the one that holds the words of life. Please come forward. Come forward and come and ask Jesus for that moment with him again. So we're going to make space here. I don't know how it's going to look, but I want you guys to come forward. If you want to spark that love with Jesus again, where you know, Lord, I'm in your presence. This is what I was created to do. And then there's also those of us that have been in his presence. You just want to experience the Lord. You want to be reminded of his goodness. You want to stand in his presence. You want to feel him again and know that he is real and know that he is tangible. I want to invite you to the front as well. Remember, everyone is here for a moment to enjoy Jesus today. Come all the way forward. Now I want to pray. I think there's going to be some more responses called as we worship. But I want to pray for everyone in front here. And I don't know exactly what you're looking for in the Lord. I don't know what you're trusting for. But God knows. And the Holy Spirit is here. He is here right now. And the Holy Spirit is here to point your eyes to Jesus. And so I want you to look at Jesus and I want you to behold him. Peter looked at Jesus and he beheld him. He said, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he's made that available for you, where you can behold him, the living God. Holy Spirit, we look to you now, Lord. Holy Spirit, we look to you, the living God, the living Spirit that is a person that is here and present. And Holy Spirit, you know everyone's heart, you know everyone's thoughts, you know the struggles, you know everything we're going through. But God, we are all standing here responding because we say we want to have a moment with you, Lord. We declare as a family, God, we want to have a moment with you. And that is why we are responding, Lord Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come. Come fall upon us afresh, God. Come and ignite hearts where the first love has been lost. Come and bring that back, God. I even sense there's daughters that just need to feel the hug of a father again. Daughters that haven't felt the hug of a father, or just felt the love of a father, a male figure that loves you and wants to take care of you and protect you. If that's you, I want you to speak to someone to pray for you. And I also felt that there were people that have known Jesus for many, many, many years, but your heart has become hard because you haven't found yourself in your presence. But even Peter was restored, and so can you be restored. And so I want you to focus on the Lord. So Holy Spirit, will you come now, God? Will you come and do your work amongst us? Fall with your fire, God. Fall with your presence. Stir the pot of faith this morning, Lord. And as we respond, Lord, we know that you will come. Thank you, Jesus. So just in your own way, just respond to Jesus. Speak to him. Speak to the Holy Spirit. My daughters, pray to the Father.
Let's just wait on the Lord. We don't have to rush. Let's just wait a moment. Just open your heart wide. Let the Holy Spirit just speak to you, just minister to you. We're not going to sing a song or anything. Just want to be in the presence of our King, of our Lord, the Savior. Romans 5, Paul writes and he says, at just the right time, Jesus died on the cross, take away all your sin, took your sin on him at just the right time. And just as James has been sharing his journey, at just the right time in his life, God entered and took all everything that he did on his shoulders, on him, in his body. And Jesus died so that James could be free, so that James could have eternity with God. And as God is ministering to guys in front here, and this God is busy here, I just have a sense this morning, if you had your moment with God, moment where you fully surrendered, where you see him, and this morning is a sense of seeing him, seeing Jesus dying on the cross, taking your sin upon him so that you can be free, so that you can have eternal life, so that you can know him, the one that made you, that formed you in your mother's womb, that you can know him intimately and have a life with him. Have you had that moment? And guys in the front here is busy doing business with God, but I want to extend that for you this morning. Are you sure? Are you fully convinced? Do you know Jesus? And if you don't, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand boldly, and no one's looking. No one's having to see who's raising their hands, because it's between you and God. But as a family, we want to come alongside you and say, we want to walk this road with you. Because being a Christian is not a solo sport. It's not something you do on your own. It's something where God puts you in family, and you know that the way that you live your life from here onwards is different. And how does that look? So if God is busy in your heart, and you know he's busy because your heart is pounding in your chest, your palms are a little bit sweaty, and you just know, God, you are all over my life at the moment. And it's for every single one of us. If you know God is busy just in your heart, and you want to this morning say, I want to know Jesus fully like that. I want to be fully convinced. Don't miss your moment with him. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can turn away from darkness and into light. And many here have had that moment, like you heard James' testimony. If that is you, can you boldly just raise your hand and say, please pray for me. That's me this morning. Make sure that I see your hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. When they saw Jesus, they left what they were doing. They left their lives and they said, I'm going to follow you, God. You want to follow Jesus this morning in that way? Say, my life is yours, God. Come take away all my sin. Come cleanse me this morning. Set me free, God, of the things that are holding me back. Just raise your hand if that's you as well. Maybe you have had a relationship with the Lord, and just things have drifted in your life. You started forgetting about God. And you say, Lord, I want to come back to you this morning. I want to come back to you this morning. Lee had a word. Lee had a word that in this congregation, God's saying this morning, it's not just the youth. Older generation, are you running for the Lord? Do you know Him? Are you sold out? Are you fully devoted to the King of Kings? Have you drifted? Have you shifted? You're looking at the young kids, and even that, where we made a joke this morning about being hit by God. Is God still working in your life? And if not, come back this morning. Come back this morning. Older generation, who cares what anybody thinks of the moment? But if that's you, don't you want to raise your hand as well? And in a moment, we want to pray. We want to trust God to break out in this place. But I just want to first make sure that we all know Him. Those guys that raised their hands, there's already people praying. There's guys praying with them. What I'd love us to do is if you go this morning, you heard James and you said, I want to know this Jesus. Can you open your arms? Those of you that leaders, and if you're a leader and you feel you need someone to pray for you, don't do this. But if you're a leader and you go, I want to pray for someone, can you see guys raising their hands? Come to the front, leaders, and look and see, and let's trust God to move in people's lives. And I'm going to ask James to pray for us, but then for us to keep on praying.
For those of you that have put your hand up to give your life to Jesus, I just want to say that all of heaven is celebrating right now over your life. I remember when I put my hand up and my life was forever changed. So Jesus, thank you for this moment where you come and you love us first, Lord. You draw near to us as your creation, Lord, and so that we can draw near to you and give our lives to you. And I pray for those that have given their lives to you now, God. I pray for a full commitment to you, Jesus. I pray that they'll experience you, God, and start a journey with you where they know that you're real. They know that your word is true. Your word is true, not the world. Your word. And your word says that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. That no one gets to heaven or the Father except through me. And if you've given your life to Jesus, just set your eyes on Him. And Jesus, I pray over them right now that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fall in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come show her your love, Lord. Jesus, come show her the love of the Father. How much the Father loved you when He created you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And He wants you to stay in His presence and stay true to Him. And listen to His word. It's the truth of your life. Thank you, Jesus. For a man that wants to be radical for you, Jesus. Lord, that can only happen by the work of your Spirit, Lord. And so I pray for a deep work of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, right now in Steve, in God. Steve, you were created to be radical for Jesus. Radical for Jesus. You were created to bring other people into radical moments of Jesus along your journey. And I want to prophesy that the Holy Spirit's going to take you on a crazy journey of restoration. And He's going to show you the wonders of the Word. And He's going to show you how to bring other people to see the wonders of the Word. that you were created to bring others into the presence of God with you. And so, Jesus, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit to fill his heart. And we all hear this, Lord. We all confirm that Steve is meant to be radical for you. And we thank you that he is, God. I want to encourage you, if you are a leader or even just a saint and you feel the Lord speaking to you for someone else, go and speak to them. I want to encourage you, go and pray. Let's pray for each other. Let's encourage. If you would like prayer, I want you to put your hands up so that we can see who you are and we can come and pray for you. Guys, we're just going to hang here. The Bible speaks about waiting on God. It's one of the most beautiful things we can do in the presence of God, is wait for him. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Keep focusing on him. Using the mic just so we can all hear these words. I just feel like the Lord is saying over Luke that he is a pilot, yes, but he's meant to be a pilot for a plane full of people. And that Luke is actually called to lead many. God, I want to pray for your Spirit to keep Luke close to the heart of God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would raise him up in your house, raise him up in your ways, Lord Jesus, that Luke may walk in the destiny you have for him, God, and that is to pilot many. God, you have called him to fly for Jesus, and I pray, God, that his heart would be prepared by your Holy Spirit so that the work of Jesus Christ can take place in his life. And I even pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill his heart, come and fill his body, Lord. Thank you for this moment that he can have with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
this might be a word for many of us, or maybe for one of us. But just as we've been considering and just trying to follow the Lord this morning, the Lord gave me this scripture in Job 8, and it says, "Such is the destiny of all who forgot God. So perishes the hope of those. What they trust in is fragile, and what they rely on is a spider's web." And I've got a sense this morning, and James just said this as well, are you trusting God this morning to break through? And you might have not come out, and you might have not stepped out and said, "Lord, this is me. I need you to, I want to trust you, God. I want the name of Jesus to be spoken over my life." That's what James said, like looking at your at the window and seeing things that is tormenting you, or problems that you're facing, and you're going, "Lord, I don't know. This is too big for me, God. It's too big for me. I need the name of Jesus, the name above every name, to be spoken over this situation." And if that's you this morning, don't you want to come out? Just come out. Come out. Come stand here. Clive, come stand here, bro. It's almost like I see guys are getting to a point of hopelessness. You're just going, "God, like I've lost hope, Lord. I've lost hope in this situation. I need the name of Jesus to be spoken over my life." Let me get some guys to pray here with Clive. Don't worry that we're taking time this morning. It's in the waiting. Often the Lord says, "Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength." So we don't have to rush.